Blog Talk Radio. Blog Talk Radio.
Again for another episode, yes, another very precious episode of Hidden Gospel Revealed, and I'm your host, Eddie Mia of Covenant Remembrance Ministries, yes, so very thankful to the Most High for this opportunity, this precious opportunity to be back with you here again. Yes, and I thank the Most High for every ear that He brings near, and I thank you all, yes, I do, for listening. For the Most High has told me, yes, directly has He told me, that I have for His cause some very important things for Him, yes, that I must do. The Most High calls a prophet to speak with others would not. For indeed, my brothers and sisters, men more often than not have been more concerned for personal pulpits and thrones than for the ultimate divine covenant cause, the one consent, healing, and reconciliation of a people devout unto the one Most High, for the making one, my brothers and sisters, of a world entire unto the ways of eternal peace. But now, my brothers and sisters, even now the time, my brothers and sisters, that time has come when the promised times of refreshing are upon us, the time to rediscover the ancient truths, the time foretold, my brothers and sisters, that all the precious truths that unscrupulous men for so long have schemed to keep hidden in the darkness, must again be brought to the light, to at last remember all that should never have been forgotten by truth-loving brothers and sisters, is now. For again, the Most High has told me that I have for him some very important things for his cause that I must do. And he told me that because of what I must do, he said that I would surely accrue some very powerful friends as well as enemies. But he told me that in doing for him that which he has asked of me, that I would have his protection and his guidance. And for that, my brothers and sisters, I am indeed utmost thankful. For the Most High has told me, yes, indeed, has he told me, that I must tell you things. Yes, that I must tell you things, precious truths, that men have done some of everything they could since the dawn of human fall to hide, to deny, to pervert, to silence, and yes, my brothers and sisters, if they could, to destroy. So let it be in this day when the Most High is appointed, yes, that all the truth that the world would obscure must again come to light, when all who would hide the truth from you must be exposed. When indeed, my brothers and sisters, all that has been hidden in the darkness must come to the light, must be revealed. Let it be, my brothers and sisters, that all who would serve the Most High cry aloud. Hallelujah!
Yes, my brothers and sisters, we're back. Yes, thank the Most High. We're back again. Yes, we're back again for another episode. Another very precious episode of Hidden Gospel Revealed. And I'm your host, Edemia, of Covenant Remembrance Ministries. Yes, indeed, so very thankful to the Most High for this opportunity, this very precious opportunity to be back with you here again. The Most High indeed has told me. Yes, indeed, he has told me directly. But under his cause, I have some very important, yes, some very important things for him that I must do. Indeed, my brothers and sisters, he told me that I must tell you things. Yes, indeed, that I must tell you things. That men have done some of everything they could since the dawn of human fall to hide, to deny, to pervert, to silence. And yes, my brothers and sisters, if they could, to destroy. Well, we need to continue tonight, my brothers and sisters, a continuation of the shows of the last couple of nights. The last few nights, we've been talking about ultimately, my brothers and sisters, we've been talking about the fact that in so many ways, because humanity has thought to obtain salvation, frankly, my brothers and sisters, upon foundations that by no means before the Most High are stable. But there's a serious need. I said there's a serious need. Very serious need. To restore all things, or see the restoration of all things, according to what the early church knew, according to what all the prophets of old foretold, according to all the Messiah himself spoke, my brothers and sisters, is a strong foundation upon which indeed we might be made one unto the Most High according to the fullness of his purpose. Because quite frankly, my brothers and sisters, there is no other path toward life. Nobody's going to take anything from the Most High. Men will have to prove that they are indeed steadfast and worthy. And blessed are they, my brothers and sisters, who will understand this. Most High very definitely without question, I say the Most High very definitely without question, has a sense of order that all his people must attain. In fact, the scriptures even go as far as to tell us directly. I said the scriptures even go as far as to tell us directly that those among us who will not know his ways, will not learn of his ways, ways of his kingdom. I did not say that they are any by any means after any of the imaginings of this world. In fact, all the various political, social, national, and pseudo-religious denominations and nations of this world have actually been obstacles against man discerning the word that is from the beginning. They would never have been built by and large, my brothers and sisters, if men always understood by faith the Most High has a plan for the beginning, and they always have understood what was the expectation. Why would anyone, my brothers and sisters, believe what is a path then altered, deviant unto destruction? Again, the Most High declared a pattern. I said he declared a pattern, a path, a plan from the very beginning. We must all find that path, walk upon it. And not, my brothers and sisters, one only just walk upon it, but we must find our way along that path unto the fruition of all the Most High has intended. For indeed, my brothers and sisters, to walk less than the fullness of that path is the same thing as being distracted to walk after the ideals of another. But what is it, my brothers and sisters, that would cause someone to walk astray from the path? I want to express something tonight that needs to be understood. In the last few days, I've heard it on more than a few occasions, upon efforts to awaken, hear me now, to awaken what I know many who claim to be of Hebrew faith, claiming to be of the house of Israel. But apparently, my brothers and sisters, missing so very much, claiming to be spiritual, but apparently without question, missing so very, very much. We've talked in the last few nights about how Rome, basically, in that they took from men even the very word that is the title of honor bestowed upon the Messiah, sought to take it entirely, in fact, out of all Western vocabulary. That in so doing, well, let's consider what Rome was really all about. Rome was about preserving their own ways, their own traditions, their own ideals. What better way do you think they could imagine to preserve the pagan ideologies in this world? Do you think they wanted the people to really know the title, the name of Messiah, the title that he was given? Or do you think, my brothers and sisters, rather that they preferred that men learn by default a title, a name, an idea was already in heathenous mind? The goal they had then, my brothers and sisters, was take from man the knowledge of the title by which Messiah was called, according to all that was understood by the people, particularly of the East. The concept of a Messiah after the will and anointing of one, to replace it, in fact, with the concept of a Savior that they had in the polytheist West. Many of us have not discerned or have not examined. I have not been enlightened to this, but quite frankly, the title Christ or Christos is actually a very much so pagan title. It's one that catered to what Rome called Pax Romana, the peace and order of Rome. Rome believing that they had to assure that all Romans worshiped all the polytheist gods of Rome that they say favored their kings. These were their Soters, their saviors, their Christoses, the ones they claimed in so many ways were the anointed ones. Did you hear me, my brothers and sisters? The anointed ones of all their variant deities. Their desire, my brothers and sisters, was to assure that since men considered their kings favored of all their gods, that these kings desired to be called in so many ways the saviors not only of men but of heaven and earth, saying that they were the favored ones of all the gods, though the gods were continually in warfare. The pagan gods intended in warfare, what they had is a common ally, they said, or expression, was the king of Rome. So the pagan nations felt this everywhere. So I want you to understand, our brothers and sisters, the concept. They didn't have the concept of a savior, or one who brought peace after the anointing or the will of one. Preservation of the misideals. The polytheist ideals. The idolatries, if you want to put it that way, and the imaginations, misimaginations of many, believing that they had to preserve all these varying ideals, lest they spurn the various gods of Rome, lest their anger be spurned unto wrath. We talked about this before. The Romans felt that when their temples, the pagan temples began to empty, because men began to believe in the Holy One of Israel and his Messiah. Under the one hope of peace, and believing in peace, my brothers and sisters, not after the devices of many. Rome began to retaliate against what they thought was a direct attack against Roman national security. The people's belief in the gods that they said had placed all these pagan deities, or pagan kings, if you will, in power. So what do they do? Well, I want you to think about it. The title they call Jesus, for instance. Is it Hebrew? No, my brothers and sisters. Look up sometimes the word Jesus. H-E-S-U-S. Let me go ahead and type it into the chat. Somebody out there might want to look this up. There's an article, for instance, on Wikipedia that relates to that. And it is not so difficult. It's not so difficult to understand what actually did happen. They were using this title. I repeat, they were using this title among the heathen as much as half a millennia or more before the birth of Yeshua. And it had to do, my brothers and sisters, with a pagan sun god. The title Christ, the Christos, Greek, not Hebrew, had to do with the anointed of many. So how do you think it is, my brothers and sisters, one of the ways you think that the Romans sought to preserve their heathen ideologies, if they called the Son of the Holy One of Israel after a Roman title already impregnated in the minds of the people, many of my brothers and sisters would remain stagnant, thinking because they already knew these heathen deities, that there would be no need for them to grow or learn what is necessary to convert unto the will of one. Titles like Easter, hey, pagan to the core. My brothers and sisters, like I said, Rome felt the way that to preserve heathenism was to preserve also the titles of the pagan gods. And there's much scripture that says the day must come when the Most High will wipe these titles, these names, out from the mouths of all the people, that they all should call upon the name of the Most High with one consent. How about call upon his will with one consent? See, we take the names of the Baalim out of their mouths, the heathen gods out of their mouths. Hosea. I need to look at my brothers and sisters very close at the book of Hosea, first chapter. Understand how much of this is about. Well, in that by and large today, men have still upheld a polytheist concept of Messiah. Like I said, 45,000, said it many times, 45,000 denominations across 280 nations is not a covenant with Yah. Multitude of contentious differences of ideal, our brothers and sisters, hey, are not a covenant with the Most High Yah. If we believe that a multitude of contradictions are true to his spirit, how could we ever be taught by him unto an absolute? If our foundation is the quicksand of insurity, pretending it to be wise, our brothers and sisters, how shall we grow? So I'd like to look at a few issues today. I look at the concept that some people have told me. Yes, some concepts that people have told me when I've sought to bring correction, unwanted apparently correction, to their forums. First thing they tell me is, what am I doing trying to build on another man's foundation? Well, my brothers and sisters, I have something to ask. Is there another foundation upon which men might be yet true to the Messiah himself? I know absolutely not. I repeat, I know absolutely not. The Apostle Shaul said it well, that they call Paul. He said it well when he said, that quite frankly, my brothers and sisters, he said that there's no other foundation. I repeat, no other foundation can be laid but that which in fact has already been laid. Well, my brothers and sisters, how many understand how much prophecy actually relates? In the last days, Messiah must restore. I said the Messiah must restore a foundation that for a long time, in fact, to humanity has been lost. Scripture says when that foundation is restored, yes, indeed, it says when that foundation is restored, all the systems of the earth shall fall, and men will understand. No debate anymore about it. This world shall understand that what it upheld and thought to be wise, but it's only a mass illusion. Not true to what the Most High declared from the beginning. Not acceptable, in fact. Not at all acceptable to the one Most High at all. I need to explain this concept. What did Paul mean when he said, for instance, Romans 15:20, yeah, I've strived to preach the gospel. He says, not where the Kurdi, the ancient title for Messiah, one who honors him, honorable before him, who speaks the word, my brothers and sisters, acceptable in all things. He said, he did not seek to preach where the Kurdi, I have to ask a question. Have these people taught the Kurdi today? Not where the Kurdi was already named, lest I should build upon another man's foundation. When Paul said this, his primary concern, if we really understand the scriptures, was simply that he sought to preach and assure that whatever Messiah had not been taught, that he would be. For he had already said, another scripture we find it in 1 Corinthians 3:11, say, no other foundation can any man lay than that which is already laid, which is in Yeshua, the Kurdi. So we have to understand then, my brothers and sisters. Yes, we have to understand the real essence. I said the real essence of what Messiah was speaking about when he said, He who hears these words of mine is a wise man. I sincere, not somebody else's words. He said, watch out for false prophets who misrepresent him. It's apparent that false prophets, my brothers and sisters, are not teaching a true testimony that he calls viable. It means they preach a testimony that is not his. They preach what seems wise according to their own hearts and minds and their own agendas. And after such as this, my brothers and sisters, the Most High cannot, I repeat, cannot be pleased. How many of us, my brothers and sisters, are prepared to understand this rightly? How many are prepared, my brothers and sisters, to discern these words in such a fashion the Most High would be pleased with what has been taught? Well, I'd like to look at these scriptures again, because in so many ways, I would dare to say that many have taught these scriptures, only proven that they themselves are of a polytheist mindset while they sought to reprove. They only incriminated themselves to show they didn't really understand as much as they claim before men to understand. Well, I want to look at this scripture, for instance, Romans. Well, how about starting here? Yes, let's go to Romans. Romans 15 and 20. I said Romans 15 and 20. Let's look at the real essence of what the Apostle Shaul was actually saying. Like I said, folks say that I'm butting in when I try to help them see some things they had not seen. See, I'm building upon another man's foundation. You think there's a lot of different foundations toward building something entirely different from what is ultimately divine intent, peace, harmony, and understanding in the temple of the Most High according to someone else's idea of what is the gospel? My brother, this is only one gospel. It's the gospel of peace. It's a consistent understanding. It's not tainted after any of the misideals of man nor any man's preoccupied or predisposed, if you will, ideals or imaginings. Let's look at this. 15 and 16. Apostle Shaul talked about what was given to him in the Most High, that he should be a minister of Yeshua, the Kurdi, the expected righteous one, to cast out all the darkness, bring forth the light the world would obscure. Expose every divide and conquer entity that is blinding the heart of men after misallegiances. This is what he comes to do. Have they taught you Messiah in that context? And my brother and sister, something about the gospel has been left unimpugned upon your mind. He said, that should be a minister of Yeshua HaMashiach, or Yeshua the Kurdi. Minister of Yeshua to the Gentiles, to all the nations, ministering the gospel of Yah. How about one testimony beyond all the nations that would convert all the nations? Testimony not of the nations, that the offering of the Gentiles might be acceptable, that all my brothers and sisters awaken into one absolute and sure standard. That all the nations might be agreed. Now those who trust, say they get on, they want to get on me, they say, because I would teach that men should understand in all nations one understanding that they all could agree. Shall it be, my brothers and sisters, that men would prefer that other men should not understand, that contentions remain? What do you think is the salvation of this world? But that what the scriptures say, a Messiah, that from the rising of the sun to the west, all the nations, my brothers and sisters, recognizing one Most High, that is the salvation of man beyond all the false lords and rulers among the nations. Why did not your leaders address this concept to you in this manner? What they prefer, my brothers and sisters, that a world remain contentious, misguided, everybody upholding his own ideals, hey, opinions against the Most High, and still say the Most High with this is pleased. I was thinking again. Hear me, my brothers and sisters, that the Gentiles, it says, might be accepted, made sanctified. How about set apart unto the Most High in the Holy Spirit? After the pure testimony of the Most High, all brought to the same understanding. Hey, in word and deed. Romans 15, all that's written of old is for our learning, that we through patience and faith in scriptures all might have the same hope. Bring all the nations, all the Gentiles, obedient in word and deed. Well, look at this. I say, I therefore whereof that I may glorify through Yeshua the Curdy and those things which pertain to God, pertain to Yah. He said, I will not dare to speak of those things which the Curdy has not wrought in me to make the Gentiles obedient by word and deed. In other words, I will speak only concerning the Most High has declared through mighty signs and wonders. In other words, which comes by inspiration, not after the will of the flesh. To make all the nations obedient by word and deed. One understanding. Wow. Through signs and wonders, it says, for the power of Yah, so that from Yerushalayim, Jerusalem, and round about Illyricum, on the coastlines off the Mediterranean, I fully preached the gospel of the Curdy. Well, think about it. The scripture says, one called the Curdy, the righteous one, likened to the rising sun, will reprove all the miscreant doctrines of all your rulers, your pastors, your priests, your rabbis, your elders. Look at Malachi when he took the calls him, he for whom you are waiting, he from the Lord whom you seek. Said, reprove all your priests for all their errant ways that they said somehow the Most High was pleased with, which was a lie. Isaiah 41 says that he would reprove all your kings and their words and ideas and doctrines be before him, be like dust before his sword, driven stubble to his bow, the attitude of his word from on. Has to expose the lie, my brothers and sisters, that people be converted. I repeat, he has to expose the lie that people genuinely be converted. I want you to think. I want you to think about it, my brothers and sisters. Listen to what he said. Yea, so I've strived to preach the gospel, not where the Curdy was already named. And I repeat, as the Curdy, concept of Messiah that was taught to the early church, has that been named among these many different denominations today? The scripture said it would not be. Lest I should build upon another man's foundation. My brothers and sisters, let me tell you something. When Paul said this, he was just simply saying that there's no other foundation but that which one which was already laid. In other words, he was just basically saying different pastors may speak with different styles, but the same consciousness must be that one which is upon them all, because there's no other gospel. So when he talked about another man's foundation, he's really investing another man's efforts. But my brothers and sisters, we have to be sure that the efforts of those around us who claim to be true to the foundation is actually true to the same foundation. Why, since many claim to be on that same foundation, you see so many different houses teaching different doctrine, ultimately under differing goals, as if all of these would be perpetuated forever in the house of the Most High. My brothers and sisters, the scriptures say concerning the one called the Curdy, unto him every knee shall bow and every tongue shall swear allegiance. Scripture says in Isaiah 59 that he's going to declare a standard that will expose every enemy. How about everyone who doesn't want to teach the whole pure and complete word? And that's exactly the reason why you see so many differences. Let's keep looking. To whom it was not, but as it written, it says, to whom he was not spoken of, has the Curdy faith in the one who would expose every lie, establish a pure standard, has he been taught? Has his pure standard been taught when you got 45,000 denominations across 280 nations? To me, it was not spoken of, they shall see, and they who have not heard shall understand. Wow. Where did this scripture come from? Isaiah 52. It talks about in Isaiah 52 about Messiah coming forth. And it says, they shall hear my voice in that day, and they shall know, behold, it is I. How beautiful upon all the mountains is the feet of him, or the dominion of him who preaches glad tidings. In other words, over all the nations, who declares a pure and sure word. That men might know. Most High indeed, surely as he is, must then expose all that is babbling, all the misrepresentation that's in the world. Let's talk about declaring an absolute. And they who had not heard shall finally understand. What's that scripture says? It's in Isaiah 52? 52:15, kings should shut their mouths because that which they had not heard, they shall consider. As they had heard, they shall understand. That which they had not considered, they shall consider. So who then is going to believe his report? What he has to declare, a testimony, my brothers and sisters, beyond the rulers. Well, my brothers and sisters, how many have heard a testimony that transcends the status quo entirely? All the fallen misconceits of man. How many, my brothers and sisters, have taught those things that have not been by the status quo taught? Because all the people who have accused me of invading their upon the houses they build upon their foundation, wow. My brothers and sisters, they haven't taught this testimony at all throughout the Bible from Genesis to Revelation. And Shaul even said in 15:22, for this cause also I've been much hindered from coming to you. He actually talked about the idea that for a long time, even for the course of years, he had been prevented from coming back to those Spain because he was so busy preaching where the gospel, the truth of the gospel had not been taught. Well, guess what? There's a lot of folks entirely misrepresenting the word today. They have never taught that gospel. The scripture says the one called the Kurdi would speak. Isaiah 41st chapter says he's going to expose all the rulers who are not foundation or expectation, never taught the gospel. And in fact, my brothers and sisters called all of them abominable before the Most High. Says that the Most High would send him for the express purpose to expose all the standards of the rulers. He said he trod them all down like martyrs, a pot of treads clay. Expose them all in their folly. Do you really think the rulers wanted you to understand that? My brothers and sisters, why the scripture says the Messiah would come, it said he would say concerning him, behold my servant, my elect, and my soul delights, I put my spirit upon him, that he should bring forth justice to the nations, meaning that what the nations had taught had not been justice. In fact, my brothers and sisters, even among many who call themselves Hebrews today, if they don't tell you about the one who reproves them all, then guess what? They're seeking to establish another foundation, and it is not, my brothers and sisters, that which Messiah himself made. It is, my brothers and sisters, the expectation of him. If they leave you without this testimony, I repeat, my brothers and sisters, if they leave you without this testimony, by default, they leave you subject to their madness. We must awaken to discern far better than this. I would give you to consider, yes, my brothers and sisters, I would give you to consider such scriptures as those that, I give you to consider such scriptures as those that, how about Matthew 7th chapter? As a reflection, I said, as a reflection, what was already related let me do something here. At Isaiah 28. Then Isaiah 28 says that when Messiah comes, he has to lay a foundation, a tried stone, a precious cornerstone, a sure foundation. Apparently, because of what said in Matthew 7, what people have heard was not that foundation. They'll find out they never knew him. They heard another man's testimony, and it was not equity, nor was it the justice that all the nations should seek. Something to think about, I know, I'm sure. How, my brothers and sisters, did people manage to miss all this? I said, how did they manage to miss it? Let me relate a few points so that we can be a bit more clear with regard to this concept. Because like I said, there is no other foundation. And one scripture says it this way in 1 Corinthians 3, now if any man build upon this foundation, again, we talked about earlier, Messiah said he built his house upon this rock, the rock that he is, the Kurdi. And most never understanding who the Kurdi, how could they build a house under him? How could they even do this, my brothers and sisters, when the very word for church relates to the expectation of the one called the Kurdi, of whom they have never heard, nor his doctrine have they really ever truly understood unto its fruition. He said, if not any man build upon this foundation gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, stubble, every man's work should be manifest, and the Lord should be revealed what is its source. What is its expectation? What is its agenda? What is its intent? Is it under the Most High in all things? For the day, should declare it. How about the light of Messiah should declare what nature it is when he declares himself? Because it's revealed by fire, even by his reproof. It should be discerned what nature it really is. The fire. And the fire, the rebuke of the Most High shall try, test, refine, discern every man's work. How about its source? Or what sort it is. If any man work, man's work. Shall survive then the reproof. He shall receive a reward, every man according as his work shall be, whether it's true unto the Most High, attained after the will of another. Man's work shall be burned. How about exposed as not true to the initial word? He shall suffer loss. But it's actually, my brothers and sisters, if Most High takes away from you whatever you don't need, that is actually a blessing that you might possibly be preserved yourself. Because my brother, everything will be refined by the fire that burns everything that is not like itself. Know ye not the temple of Yah? Now that you're supposed to be the temple of Yah? And the spirit of Yah dwells in you? In other words, you should not, after the spirit of Yah, seek to accompany the spirit of the Most High after the ideals of another. Not another foundation, not another expectation. If any man defile the temple of Yah, him Yah shall destroy, for the temple of Yah is holy, it should be. You should seek in all things, mind, body, and soul, be true to Yah in all things, which temple ye are. That is, my brothers and sisters, if you seek the purity of your heart, purity of mind, heart, soul, according to all that is divine ideal. So let no man deceive himself. Any man among you seems to think he is wise after the ways of this world and all its corruptions and diversitudes. Let him consider himself or realize himself a fool that he may become wise. One scripture says, let us not judge ourselves wise before the time till Messiah comes to reveal the hidden things that men have not considered. Exactly what the scripture says a bit earlier. And then shall every man know how to praise Yah. One day he said, man will consider all these things. One day man will be respectful of all things beyond all the rulers. And in that day will every man know how to praise, honorably praise the Most High. You know, it really makes me wonder sometimes when the scripture says, ultimately then unto one goal, the King of glory shall inherit the world, shall guide men beyond all their vanities. How is it everybody feels like they got their own territory? Especially since they've all ignored. And don't even know, my brothers and sisters, in so many ways they claim to, but they haven't even known who Messiah is. How does everyone want to claim a territory, my brothers and sisters, in the King of Glory's world, the honorable King's world, Look at Psalms 24 and understand. Earth belongs to Yah, the fullness thereof, the world and they that dwell therein. Even since they all talk about personal territory in the king's world, they sound like devils, polytheists, saying they can all teach their own. In fact, they even say they're all teaching their own gospel. There's only one. Say, if any man preach any other gospel, let him be accursed. They preach a word that does not include these words. How can it be that sure, pure, and whole word that is the gospel? It's simply not possible. One of them even said that if you have controversy against the priest, which the Most High said he had controversies with, because they compel the people to follow them rather than seeking the absolution of the Most High. Like I said, if you think a multitude of contradictions, the truth of the will of one, you're not his disciples, you're somebody else's. But this same one, and I need to go ahead and play this for you sometime, actually said that if anybody argues with a priest, in fact, talking about someone like himself, let him be accursed. But how many, my brothers and sisters, other pastors has he argued with? Is he true to Yah in all things? I can tell you now, I can take his doctrine and chew it up and spit it out and show you 1,000 ways that every other word he said is out of context. I'm not saying to be arrogant, it's just a fact. I repeat, I'm not saying that to be arrogant. Those who know me well know I am speaking fact. A lot of things I haven't even begun to express here. For the full dimension, I wish I could if there was enough time. Like I said, Paul did not speak of there being another foundation for faith. Faith is unto the will of one. You think a multitude of varying ideas, anything but debate and doubt? Like I said, Paul was talking about his top priority. Is that a pure word be wherever it had not been taught. And with regard to this, remember, the Apostle Shaul had to come to Caiaphas, Peter, they called him, and reprove him when he got out of line. What was that? Was that stepping into somebody else's foundation? What about my brothers and sisters? He had to reprove Caiaphas, Peter, they called him, because he was not preaching true to the one gospel. Ouch. According to Paul's words, hey, could have wound up in a lot of trouble if he had continued and not been reproved. So he's actually helping to save his brother. It's the same concept we just saw in the 15th chapter of 1 Corinthians. Wow. Seeking to save his brother, and also, my brothers and sisters, guard the Galatians against the ways who in many respects had functioned in hypocrisy or misrepresentation against the pure will of the one. Same concepts come over and over again. I see scriptures, my brothers and sisters, like I said, that said the Messiah would have to restore a foundation. Well, how are these people so sure? Well, they're so sure in their mind they don't need a sense of reproof. Scripture tells us in Revelation, and the 16th chapter, that when Messiah appears again to restore the initial foundation, all the systems of the earth that men said was established upon foundation, all of them shall fall. Is there no need for reproof, my brothers and sisters? I want you to think about something. The very idea that we live in a convoluted world filled with a multitude of divisions and misopinions, men have not looked for what would bring all this confusion to an end, not looking for an absolute standard, as if the Most High has no plan to declare an absolute standard to put all these lies to an end. It's evidence that so many of my brothers and sisters who say they are monotheists, it proves they're still very much so with a polytheist Gentile mind. That's exactly what the scriptures at Isaiah 57 say of many who say they are Hebrew. Say, you praised your kings. And because of this, after a multitude of varying ideas, you praised your kings and status quo. You say, you mocked him and lied against him. were afraid of them, so you lied against the Most High, and it even goes as far as to say you become one of them. Have many understood the principles as to how and why? But yet they are prepared to boast. All my brothers and sisters, there's a need to clarify all these things and set these things back in order. The Apostle Shaul, for instance, also when he spoke to Timothy, what did he tell him? To reprove in season and without and out of season. Hey, remember we talked a little earlier about how Paul himself talked about how there were times that it took him many years, in fact, sometimes get back to a congregation that he himself had helped to bring forward. You think there was no need to send letters to them to reprove them so that they might be retained upon a steadfast path? He told Timothy, who was in effect, if you will, an apprentice of the Apostle Shaul. He told him to reprove in season and out of season. In other words, whether people are prepared for it or not, tell what is necessary. He told such ones, like I said, in 2 Timothy 2:17, one who they call about Hymenaeus and Philetus, who he said concerning the truth of air, saying that the resurrection is past already, and to overthrow the faith of some. And that statement, that verse in itself, is something very powerful. They must have been looking for something other than Messiah out of the sky, because if the resurrection comes, as they say, they want to tell you today, Messiah coming out of the sky, then how could people so easily have missed it? Something is desperately wrong. They must have looked for Messiah, my brothers and sisters, to come from among men, as Isaiah said. I know there are those, my brothers and sisters, want to sit back and say this, talking about the resurrection of the few that occurred at the crucifixion of Messiah. But I'll tell you now, I'm speaking of something much more. I'm looking at the time. I got about 3 minutes left. Let me see if I can get through this quickly. Nevertheless, it says in 2:19, the foundation of Yah stand is sure. It does not change, does not shift according to the varying ideas of man. Having this seal, this confirmation, that the Most High knows them that are his. In other words, my brothers and sisters, they speak upon another foundation. One scripture says, they speak in the, have not after this spirit that would teach all things no lie, not leading men to error. He said they are none of his. Let everyone that nameth the name of the Kurdee depart from iniquity, all injustice. Who then, my brothers and sisters, is going to teach man beyond all injustice and false word if it's not the Kurdee himself? How is it that many have not prepared themselves with this expectation? All my brothers and sisters, there's a lot of truth that men are today, when they see a scripture, they can twist to their advantage. There's a lot of scripture they're choosing to totally, completely ignore for all purposes. And after this, my brothers and sisters, the Most High cannot, I repeat, he cannot be pleased. Oh, brothers and sisters. They don't know that they invoke the wrath of Yah because they compel the nations after a status quo not to listen, a worldly status quo not to listen. Not realizing that no people divided will bring justice to the nation. They don't realize that everyone seeking to establish his own quarter, keeping the people divided, is against the peace the Most High desires to see offering unto his name, honorable unto himself. More concerned with pulpits and thrones, and they're concerned about the reconciliation of a people and the healing of a world. Missing the point entirely, my brothers and sisters, and proving in fact themselves after such selfish ambition to be adversarial against the name of the Most High himself, because it's not his testimony, not the testimony of Yah that they preach. Every man who thinks himself wise after his own indiscretions, or after his own discretion, It's not possible. He can never discern fully what is repentance. Men are made idols of their own imaginations. How dare men believe that everyone after this has his own foundation, or his own foundation after which he establishes the one faith unto one kingdom? People blinded by their own agendas, my brothers and sisters, minds warped, they do not understand. In a world filled with diverse misexamples, confused, there has not been a common realization needful for the awaiting of the Savior to bring discerning absolution for salvation's sake. A world confused, many believing that their various confusions should endure forever as a path unto eternal life. Heaven help us. Father, remember us for the kindness, seek to show forth to the world for those, I'm speaking of those, my brothers and sisters, who are willing to humble themselves to see divine will in all things manifest. I'm not talking about those who have their selfish agendas. Messiah said those who have such selfish agendas so as to establish and preserve worldly ways, he said, I make no request for them, enemies and adversaries. But some are too doggone blinded by their own intents to ever understand this. Time to overcome, my brothers and sisters, these strong delusions. A lot of folks cry out, Lord, Lord, but that does not mean their agenda is to do all that is divine will in order to praise him. They make such a claim, but if you told them about a lot of these testimonies and things I'm talking about right now, kind of things like the secret city prophecies, hey, who the early church knew Messiah to be and all these things, hey, because the world is forgotten and they haven't taught it, they chose to continue to keep the world blind to it so that men, by default, knowing nothing more, serve according to the illusions that they planted. My brothers and sisters, either we seek the whole truth for the mutual good of all unto the perfect will of Yah, or we are all still counted unredeemed adversaries. How many of us are ready to hear that? You know, I think it's amazing. Some folks are talking about the idea that apparently Obama has gone to Africa, to Kenya, and talked about the quote unquote homosexual agenda. Kenya's leader, on the other hand, said, with all the things we have to contend with here in Kenya, believe me, the homosexual agenda is the last thing on his mind. But I find it amazing, my brothers and sisters, folks haven't considered, what do they really talk about here in the so-called America? They talk about equal justice under the law. Whose law? Does the law of the Most High include all these contradictions? Absolutely not. Equal justice under whose law? Their law? Is their law just? Is what they call lawful, preserving a multitude of sins, defiances, and transgression against divine law? Is that, my brothers and sisters, be called equity? Justice, is it be called justice? Equal justice under the law. In other words, equal justice for every manner of aberration imaginable. All kind of just. All to be dealt with favor. All legal, lawful, under their law. You know, pagan Rome had what they call Pax Romana. And all the pagan ideals, imaginings of all the pagan gods were legal in Rome, though the gods fought against one another. What you're saying, that the law of the nations and the law of a contentiously pluralist idea, the law is the preservation of warfare, that men, my brothers and sisters, even fight to keep in places of power those who will keep the ignorance, to keep the people, they might constantly be exploited. Is that the law of this world? My brothers and sisters, equal justice to preserve all the ways of the heathen lawless, Is that what you're covering before the Most High? Isaiah 42:22, Isaiah said he knew in advance Messiah would say surely that his people are sworn by his name, but not in truth nor in righteousness. He knew in advance that they would lie, knew in advance they would err, knew that they'd fall away from a genuine sense of justice true to him. Messiah would come forth saying, amongst other things, hey, there's no peace to the lawless, no peace, no law, no justice, no order. While unjust men still yet rule. So he comes saying, listen to me, O ye isles, and hearken to me, O ye nations, brothers and sisters, where the system we live in calls it justice to maintain every lawless way. There's no peace for those who return from transgression. Time to understand the real, my brothers and sisters, because that's the scripture. That's exactly what the scripture says in Isaiah 59, the way of peace men know not, which means they didn't even know the law of the Most High anymore. Call it the grace and the gift of the Most High to some not discern that law, so the lawless continue to rule over you. Way of peace they know not, the law of the Most High they know not. Understanding, justice, it's departed from the minds. No salvation, because all people know is what they have been taught by default by their rulers. No deliverance beyond the misconceits of the rulers, because that is the controlling body of knowledge that controls their reasoning. Amazing when you stop and think about it that way, my brothers and sisters. What have they done with the controlling body of knowledge? They keep the truth out of it. The people call themselves wise according to their ignorance, even the kind of ignorance and injustice that most fall victim to by default, because they know nothing else to do. Scripture says Messiah is going to declare a standard, putting upon him the helm, himself the helmet of salvation. Hey, the breastplate of righteousness, the sword of the Spirit, Ephesians 6, we talked about, here's Isaiah 59, relating that all this is latter-day prophecy. He would declare a whole word that would expose, my brother says, all those who declare another standard. How about upon another foundation, teaching another sense of eventuality? Well, the scriptures already told you that in Numbers 24, the Messiah is going to destroy whoever would preserve. These faulty foundations are these miscreant ideas that cause contentions among our people. Look again in Numbers 24, 14 through 17 through 19. It says destroy whoever would really mean preserve the misrepresentations that are evident in the social coalescences of man. And yes, it does speak of a specific city. If you don't know what I'm talking about, look at my website, hiddengospel.com, an article called Secret City Prophecies that are evident from Genesis to Revelation. They didn't teach you these things, my brothers and sisters. They hear some gospel from you. The scripture says the gospel is here to them that are lost, misled. Well, what then are all these, my brothers and sisters, foolish leaders who talk about the foundations they have laid and have no conscience of the word at the beginning? The plan of the Most High from the beginning eternal, where he said that he would declare one, a lawgiver in the last days out of the tribe of Judah, that all must gather unto beyond them, that there might be peace. My brothers and sisters, like I said again, all they've done is prove the polytheist blindness of their thoughts. And until they can discern how to remove from their minds, all these contentious differences after the imagination of their own hearts, the lies they've heard from other false prophets. If they can't discern how to repent themselves, how after them, my brothers and sisters, shall you find the way to return unto the Most High himself? I can only tell you what the Most High directly. He told me that I must tell you things. It's very important that I tell you things that others would not. He sends a prophet to speak what others would not. If I told you all the things that he told me, could you bear it? Could you really deal with it? I tell you, I know that Most High said to me, he shall bring to pass. And he told my brothers and sisters that my purpose is to tell you things. Yes, indeed, that I must tell you things. Very important things that must be discerned, my brothers, for your hope of salvation and deliverance beyond, let's just say, the shallow-minded conscience of those who fake representation. He told me I must tell you things. And men have done some of everything they could. Since the dawn of human fall, my brothers and sisters, to hide, to deny, to pervert, to silence. And yes, my brothers and sisters, if they could, to destroy. Like I said, we're still yet captured by the mindset of another and have not yet been delivered. When we become wise enough, my brothers and sisters, to seek all the Most High, declare that we be converted, that we might be counted indeed a light to the world, that with us the Most High can be pleased. Till we speak again, my brothers and sisters, this has been Eddie Nya of Covenant Remembrance Ministries. Unto his might, unto his honor, and unto his praise always, my brothers and sisters, I would say to you again, thanking the Most High for every ear that he brings near. And yes, my brothers and sisters, thanking you all for listening. I will say to you again, my brothers and sisters, to the honor of the Most High, because that's what that word hallelujah means. It means to honor. Did you hear, my brothers and sisters? It means to honor Yah. Wow. I think it's time we understand my far better, my brothers and sisters. In fact, I know it is. That little something I will play for you as we exit tonight. Very interesting lyrics in a song I heard. I can tell you more about it, that is evident of a message from on high sometime in the future. Song called I'm Not the Father. Perhaps I might need to speak for a moment about what these lyrics are actually saying. Might speak a little bit about it while the song is playing, but let me play this for you. Like I said, my brothers and sisters, we speak again. Unto the Most High, I offer thanks and praise ultimately unto his honor, and that no man, my brothers and sisters, be blinded by the misconceits of this world. Unto his praise always, hallelujah. And yes, indeed, my brothers and sisters, I thank you all for listening.